I love that story in Luke chapter 10 where you just saw it demonstrated. One guy's down for the count, it's over, and the religious people walk past. The Bible says one guy actually stepped over him. But then there's just this random dude that walks by and says, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to take you to the hotel, and I'm going to lay down my credit card, and I'm going to nurse you back to health. That was a parable. Jesus Christ himself spoke those words. Words of truth. And today I want to talk to you about just that. Sometimes we overlook, you know, people or situations or opportunities to help people. Now, let me set something up real quick. My dad, how many of y'all know I love my dad to a fault? You know, it's crazy. It was messed up. I love this guy so much. And 10 years ago, that's what the 10 is about, my dad died unexpectedly. And that's when I took the church over. And prior to that, I loved God. But, you know, I loved me a lot, and anybody like that, even at Weldon Springs, raise your hand if you love your lion. Let's try that again. Do you love you a lot? Are you the first person you look at in a class picture to see if you look okay? Yeah, thought so. So my dad was a little bit on the vain side as far as, like, when he went swimming, you didn't mess up his hair. He'd go nuts if you messed up his hair because he thought he was the Fonz slash Tom Selleck. Anybody see what I'm saying here? And I loved him. Well, one day, I wasn't a pastor yet, and we had this big farm, and I put an ad in the paper out in Franklin County where we lived, and I said, hey, you know, looking for a person to live on this lake where I lived, and it would be free rent, and you wouldn't make a lot of money, but you could live there, and so I got a lot of applicants. And one guy called, and his name was John Ed. And so when I met John Ed, I met him at the Tri-County truck stop right off of Highway 100, and my dad went with me because he was worried about maybe I would meet somebody that was messed up, you know, and he's a cop, so he knows a lot. So we showed up. My dad's hair was just perfect, and he looked good. And here sits John Ed over in the corner, and he's kind of in the fetal position, and I go over and I look at him because he told me what he would be wearing, and I said, are you John Ed? And he said, yes, I am. He stood up, and my dad kind of motioned me to get back in the truck. Come on, this guy's messed up. He's a drug addict. Something's messed up. And I started talking to John. I said, John, tell me a story. Well, I live in Pacific. I'm on these meds. I'm on those meds. People say I'm stupid. I'll never amount to anything. I don't have my driver's license. I can't ride a bike. And I just kind of fell in love with the guy. My dad was looking at me, and I walked over and said, hey, Dad, scoot over in the truck, you know, and I put old John Ed right up in the middle of the truck with me. Put John Ed on that lake where he lived, and every day I'd go down and talk to him, and he'd be fishing. He didn't really get anything done, but I was telling John Ed about God and the things of God, and I wasn't a preacher. I said, John, who told you you're stupid? Oh, my dad, my mom, and why? And I started kind of figuring out that really what was happening is that the family was keeping him medicated on some drugs so they could take all of his disability checks. And I said, why don't you have any money, John? Well, my family, they needed the money. And I'm like, no, so I said, John, I believe you could ride a bike. So I taught him how to ride a bike. And then I went to an auction and I bought a three-wheeler and taught him how to ride a three-wheeler. And then I told him, John, would you mind going to my dad's church? Yeah, I'll go. So I took him up to the Western store and he bought this Western black shirt with a big eagle on it and a big belt buckle, and he was skinny as a rail. But he came into church and fit into my dad's church with a cocky attitude like, I'm bringing sexy back. He's hugging the women at hug time. He's feeling good about himself. And I started telling him, John, I believe you could get your driver's license. Oh, no, they never let me get my driver's license. I can never get my driver's license. I remember finally I'd got him to a point in his life to where his medicine was okay. He started going to church. People were nice to him. He met Jesus. I told him, someday you're going to have your own job, and you're going to get married, and you're going to have kids. And I kept speaking that into John. And now my dad, he keeps saying, man, I don't know. So my dad decides he's going to let him go to the lake with us one week. And my dad has this big old Sea Ray boat. And remember, his hair is looking good. And he gets off the boat. And we're walking up to this restaurant that's got a pool. And John Ed looks at me. And he's skinny. And his chest is all kind of sunk in. And he just looks crazy. And then he pulls the swimming trunks all the way up over his belly button. And John looks at me. And he said, can I call your dad, Dad? And I said, you sure can, John Ed. You just call him Dad. So he's in the middle of the pool. He's having a great time. He's meeting people. He's talking to people. And he sees my dad walk past and he yells, Dad, hey, Dad, thanks for bringing me today. I love it here, Dad. John Ed. I'm here to tell you, though, that John, he went on to get his driver's license. He got a job in Washington, Missouri at a plant. While he's at the plant every day, he'd come home to me at his little cabin. He'd say, I met a girl today. You did? Yep, she's got three kids. You did? The next thing I know, I'm going down telling John, she can't spend the night in this cabin now. Boy, I hit on a sensitive nerve right there, I can tell you. That was just my rules. Next thing I know, they got married. Now John has three kids. He's coming to church. He's telling me, this is my dad, looking at dad. He's telling everybody about how I helped his life. And then he came in one day and he said, guess what? We're trying to have a baby. Next thing I know, he's got these kids and they're getting dedicated at the church and he's looking proud, standing next to my dad, thanking God for his life. I'm telling you that every person in here has a John Ed. I think they got a quick picture. I don't know if they put it up there or not yet, but there's a picture of John next to this bonfire that we built. And there's John Ed. Give it up for John. There's John. Happily married man, full of favor, full of God's love. But I guess the big question is, I'm asking us today here and at Weldon Springs is, are we being evangelistic? Are we sharing our faith? Are we doing our part to let people know that if God's for them, who can be against them? And how do you do that? You do it through soul winning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, the brother, casting in their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Everybody shout, fishers of men. The Greek there says, I will teach you how to catch men alive. And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from them, the brothers, James, Zebedee, John, they were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately the ship, they left the ship and their fathers, and they followed Jesus and went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. This is read. This is Jesus speaking. Preaching the gospel, that word means good news, of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and sickness among the people. Verse 25, and then there followed him a great multitude. You got to picture this. Jesus himself, he is the one who came, the only begotten of the Father, Emmanuel, God with us. He comes down from heaven. He hangs on a cross, not so that we can have beautiful churches, and we do. Not so that we can live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, and we do. These are all just benefits. He came that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly, but he also came to heal people, he said here to the disciples, who are sick. Sick in their mind, sick in their body, sick of their situation. Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to catch men alive. And that little story that I just told you a second ago is a real life story of how I caught one person alive. Just talking, just being good. Today, I was in McDonald's. I went to a gas station across from the Weldon Springs campus early. I was praying over each parking spot because only one more week at the school. Come on, give it up. One more week at the school. And then we're there. And when I walked in, I saw two elderly women. They saw me. I ordered a cup of coffee. I talked to them. And immediately, I just struck up a conversation. It was actually about the guy that was behind the counter. I'm talking right now how to win people to Jesus. The guy who was behind the counter, he had a crutch and a leg that was in a brace. And it's right across from the Weldon Springs campus. And the lady asked him, did you watch? She's not even a Christian, but she just says, what happened? He goes, oh, I was in a bad car accident and it threw me out of the window. But he says, thank God I'm alive. What do you want? He didn't even want to talk about it. She looked at me. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. But she looked at me and said, can you believe this guy's attitude? I said, no. Watch me go in as a salesman. I love the way that he said, thank God I wasn't thrown out of the car. I'm going somewhere right now. I'm saying, I'm going to try to convince her somehow, some way, that the greatest church in the whole wide world is getting ready to be at the corner of 94 and Highway 40. I'm working on something. Now, what was funny as could be is she said, this is my mom. Now, her mom had to be 80 years old. I said, how you doing, mom? She said, oh, man, she said, I was out partying all night. Can you imagine that? Partying all night? Come on! How many of y'all know you can still party apparently if you're old? Come on, raise your hand. Even at Weller's, raise your hand. Maybe your hip goes out more than you do, but you still go out. And I just kind of started throwing it out there. They never heard of us. Told them to start watching the television program. Told them they should come by that church and they should see us. And they perceived me, now don't laugh at this, they perceived me as a normal guy. when Jesus went and he asked Peter and James and John and the sons of Zebedee, hey, I want to talk to you about fishing. He made it about the conversation they were in. They were fishing, so he was talking about fishing. Then he tells them, I'm going to teach you how to catch men alive, how to reel them in. You often hear me say this story that friends don't let friends go to hell. You believe people are going to hell? Yeah. Do you believe that the Bible says two-thirds more about hell than heaven? Yeah. He said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and there's this narrow road that you must be on to make it to heaven. Not of our works, but this narrow road is not of our doing. This narrow road is not by our church attendance. This narrow road is, his name is Jesus. That's the narrow road. There's only one way to God, not many ways. It's not Mohammed. It's not New Age. And I know it's not politically correct, but I can't be politically correct and let you go to hell. There's only one way to go to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Come on, give it up for Jesus. Not a denomination. You know me, I believe if you're going to heaven, you know, you got a tag on. If you're going up, your tag will fall off. If you're going down, your tag will burn off, right? I heard about some guys that went to heaven. He had a line to get in, and St. Peter said, what religion are you? He said, well, I'm Baptist. He said, okay, go to room 27, but be quiet when you go past door number 8. Next guy, he said, well, what religion are you? He said, well, I'm Presbyterian. He said, okay, go to room number 17, but be really quiet when you go to, you know, go past number 8. Next guy comes in, so what religion are you? He said, well, I'm Jewish. He said, okay, well, you go to room number 15, but be quiet when you... He said, I know, past number 8. Who in the world's a number 8? He said, well, all the Catholics are there, and they're pretty sure they're the only ones here, so be real quiet when you walk past. I know. See, I'm not talking about a religion today. I'm not talking about a denomination today. I'm talking about the way, the truth, and the life. I'm talking today, this time change weekend, about Jesus, the risen Savior, that you and I are responsible for bringing this good news to people that need a healing. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. You need to get up. Get out there, get evangelistic, go to McDonald's, go to Hardee's, go somewhere, tell somebody about Jesus. I love verse 23. And again, Jesus went to Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease. Jesus is a healer, and the world needs healing. Mental healing, they need emotional healing, they need physical healing. We are getting ready to have a healing service here on a Tuesday night where we're going to lay hands on the sick. And then Wednesday at the new Weldon Spring campus, we are going to physically put oil on aprons and hankies, and we're going to lay hands on all the sick. I'm telling you that people in wheelchairs are coming out. People that had cancer are going to be healed. People that had overactive thyroids are going to be healed. Stigmatism, blindness, deafness will be healed. Not because of me, but because of Jesus, okay? But how will they hear except they have a preacher? How will they know except one be sent? See, our job is not to necessarily go to Africa. That's cool. Go to Haiti. We've a big crew going in a few weeks. And again, there's a mission trip going to Haiti next year to go check on all the things that we do over there. But I don't think God's going to fund your trip to India or fund your trip to Haiti until we are faithful over the little. I'm talking about the person at the stool next to you. I'm talking about the person at the counter next to you. And it doesn't mean that you have to do this. If you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? How many of y'all are not comfortable with that one? Come on, raise your hand if you're totally not comfortable with that, okay? I get that. All you have to do is work it up in conversation. Somebody has something going on in their life. You know what? There's a person that goes to my church that went through that same thing. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to Faith Church. I guarantee you everybody knows us. They know us, and I can guarantee you this. If they're not Christians, if they're hell-bound sinners, going to the strip club, getting drunk, if they're partiers, they're going to love this church. They love me. It's the Christians are the people that typically don't like me. It's the drunks that come up to me at 7-Eleven and go, you're a hell of a preacher, and I love you, and I love the way you make me feel. I feel bad. I don't go to church, but if I ever went to church, I'd totally go to your church. Then later they get delivered, and that's just half of our church staff. Come on, give it up for God. But we're called to reach the lost. We're called to preach the good news glad.
Not sad, not mad. Why don't you come to church and be like me?
That's the way I grew up. If you don't clean up, my dad, here's a statement that he would make all the time.
I'd rather you go to hell from a bar stool than go to hell from this church.
I heard that my whole life. So 10 years ago, I didn't know what to preach. All I knew was to preach what he preached. So I went up and I said, I'd rather you go to hell from the church pew. What am I supposed to do here? And I heard the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I would that none should perish, but all should go to repentance. He goes, don't you think they got a lot better chance of not going to hell by coming to church than going to the bar? So then I decided that makes a lot of sense. So then God spoke to me and he said, here, let's do this different. You're too preachy. Take off the suit, take off the tie, okay? Don't wear socks. This means you preach your socks off, y'all, when this happens. Why don't you do this? So I did it. At the end of a program, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said to say these words. I promise you, if you come out today, we're not going to point the finger at you this way. We're going to point it at you this way. We're going to put a ring on your finger and a robe on your back. God's not mad at you, but he's mad about you. And wouldn't you know, the church started growing at 13% a week. Now, these weren't Christians. They didn't know how to tithe. They didn't know how to give. In fact, most of them wanted us to pay our bills. And then the other half of them were strippers, and all they had were dollar bills. And I'm telling the truth. Come here, Susie. Susie will vouch for me. Susie will tell you right now. Susie was standing there one Sunday when this male stripper walked down the aisle with a Bush beer bottle that was his coin, where he put his coins on, and he came walking up, still looking like a stripper, with nothing but coins and dollar bills. And if there were religious people there, and they're like, oh, he's got a big old beer thing. What's pastor going to do? And look, he still looks like a stripper. And Susie was there. I picked that up, and I picked him up, and I said, my God, look what God is doing. Strippers are bringing their money to build a church. Look. Thank you, Susie. Give Susie a hand. What are we going to do? We're going to make everybody at Faith Church feel at home, because we can't act right and do right until we're treated right and we hear the good news, which is not, you need to clean up and then come to Christ. You can't do that. You got to come to Christ and then he cleans you up. That's what I'm teaching you right now. I'm doing what Jesus said, which he said, I'm going to teach you how to catch men, how to snag men, how to hook a brother up. How do you do that? Not through condemnation, not through finger pointing, unless it's like this. God loves you. You made a mistake? That's okay. We've all made mistakes. Give God the glory. And don't be cheesy about it. You know, people looking for the car keys, you're like, oh, you need the keys to the kingdom. Well, I'm going to vacuum this area. Well, make sure you don't use a dirt devil. Don't be cheesy. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, don't be cheesy. Don't talk Christianese. Talk, now, oh, hallelujah, praise God. Talk regular lingo to regular people and preach the good news glad. How shall they hear without a preacher? Look at your neighbor and say, you have been licensed to preach now. You can't marry anybody or anything, technically. Romans 10:14, let's go there. How then shall they call upon whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Come on, shout it. Why? Come on, one more time. Well, this breaks. Come on, what?
Preacher.
You are and I am preachers. The great Saint Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. In other words, our life should be, he was beaten up, he was down for the count, and we pick him up and we help them get their lives back together. That's what Christians do. Now, at our church in Palm Beach on Thursday night, I said this, and I wanted to make sure I remember to say it again, because I like this little statement. Whatever you do, don't wait to win people to the Lord till you get it all together. Let me tell you why. You're never going to win anybody to the Lord, because you're never going to get it together. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church today. I said, if I waited till I felt right to share my faith, I would never. If I waited to preach my message when I felt like, I'm so holy right now, I wouldn't do it. I don't act like a Christian I am a Christian. So when some people who are judgmental tell you, you know what, you don't act like a Christian, and the devil will tell you that. Don't share your faith because you don't act like a Christian. You say, I'm not acting like one. Bad grammar, good theology. I are one. I'm not acting like an American. I don't always feel like an American, but I am. I don't always feel married, but Nicole says, you are. I have witnesses. I've got a videotape that's VHS that I transferred to DVD to document the fact you are married till death do us part. We don't go by what we feel. We go by the fact that we've been made right because he's right. And then we walk around with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And then we tell people about this good, awesome God and this incredible church where they can walk in no matter what their persuasion, no matter what their color, no matter what their education, no matter what their issue is, they can come in here and we're going to love them and then let the Holy Spirit clean the fish. We just catch them. He cleans them. We catch them. God, that's good preaching right there. Because see, the church that oftentimes is portrayed throughout America and I grew up in was new girl comes down the aisle, skirt is too short, blouse is too low. Look at her. Can you believe that? They feel uncomfortable, they leave. Oh yeah, her skirt was short, but your tongue was long. Short skirt, very long tongue. Tonto said that, Long Ranger, read it. No. I remember when we first started the church 10 years ago, when I became the pastor, we started seeing people with crazy hair, no hair anywhere except one big old mohawk. It is pink and red and green. And I'm like, my gosh, is this guy a parrot or a human? What's his deal? And then piercings. It looks like you could hang a curtain rod over the top and he could just go to sleep. It's piercing. It looks like he fell down the steps of the tackle box and people were judging him. But I saw somebody who was looking for their identity. Sometimes the people that you look at and go, look at them. They were wanting somebody to look at them because mama didn't love them and daddy didn't love them and the teacher didn't love them and nobody else loved them. And they went to jail and they tried to reform them and they went to some kind of camp and they tried to rehabilitate them. And then they come to church and we try to hate them. I'm telling you what, this church needs to be full of people who haven't been to church in forever, never thought they'd go to church again. Because we love. How do we know that we are disciples of Christ? That we love one another. That passage of the Good Samaritan that we saw demonstrated so eloquently a while ago, Luke 10, it starts out with, love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? It's everybody who is near you. Everybody who's around you. We're supposed to wheel it, deal it, say it, spray it. We're supposed to lay up and pray, God, help me win someone to Jesus. There's a guy who goes to church here. His name's Todd Beckman. He doesn't care me sharing the story because I've told it a million times in front of him. Todd, one Tuesday night, he's a notorious sinner, best friends with August Bush, and total drug head, drunkard, partier, fornicator, adulterer. I didn't know anything about him, but he just walked up to me and said, hey, man, I'd like to, you know, maybe sit down and talk with you sometime. And okay, you know, we'll probably do that. And then next thing I know, he starts coming to church on a Tuesday night, and then next thing I know, he's sitting up close by me. And somebody said, you know who that is? And then some women had come to me and go, do you know who that is? That is Todd Beckman. He's a notorious sinner. Blah, blah, blah. And I would go, I wonder how you know. Ooh, I just wonder why you be knowing all that stuff about Todd. And one Tuesday night, when we moved to this building, sitting right there next to Pastor Austin, I just felt like I was supposed to hit my knees, and I hit my knees, and then Todd dropped next to me, and he wraps those muscly arms around me, and he starts crying and says, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I want to receive Jesus. I want to get my wife back, and I don't want to run around. I want to quit all that stuff, and I want to dedicate my life to Jesus. You know what? I saw him, and I'll see him, you know, every Sunday sitting right next to me, and people will say, is that Todd Beckman? When you get to heaven, you're going to be real surprised who you see there. You might even be more surprised who you don't see there. Man, I'm laying down the corn this morning. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. People want to hear the good news. Now, I asked you a while ago a question, and you said you don't want to do that. If you died today, would you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you'd go? You don't have to do that. But you do have to do this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Love conquers everything. I once met a woman. She walked down the aisle and she said, "Hey, I was watching my husband. He doesn't go to church. If he ever went to church, he'd be a good Christian. But boy, he is hellbound, sinner, cusser, this guy. But boy, if he ever got saved, he could really change the world. He's a great guy. But I caught him, good Catholic boy, I caught him watching you on TV. And you were flying an airplane. And he flies airplanes, so he loved that. And he told me, I might go see that guy someday." So she walked down the aisle and she said, "I don't know if you're a crook or not, because you know TV preachers got a reputation and whatnot, but God, I hope you're not. But next Sunday, even if you are, pretend you're not, because my husband is going to come to church." I felt bad, so next Sunday I saw this guy walking down the aisle, and here he comes. He doesn't look like a Christian because he doesn't go to church. He doesn't know Christianese. He wouldn't know the Lord if he came in with a red tag on and said, "I'm the Lord." He doesn't know, but he's a good guy. And I told him, I said, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "My name's Mike." I said, "Let's go to lunch, Mike." Went to lunch with Mike. Mike's smoking. Mike's cussing. But I liked Mike. Started talking to him. Ended up really liking. We had a lot of stuff in common. Went over to his horse barn. He liked horses. He liked motorcycles. Watched me get up in his world. Watched me set the hook. I didn't try to judge him. And one day, I told him, "Mike, why don't we go on a trip?" So he said, "Okay." I said, "Why don't we both just go out to California, rent some motorcycles, and run the California coast?" He said, "Well, I got a better idea. My dad's got a little boat out in the Bahamas. How about you just go over there, sleep on the boat, and have a good time?" Sure. Went to the Bahamas. A couple days into it, we went out one night. We went to a restaurant / bar. And he does what people do. He just started drinking, and I paid for the drinks. Then when we left in the golf cart, I knew that, I don't know if I want to be driving this or not, so I'm going to drive. And so I'm driving, and he looked at me, and he said, "Hey, preacher, I know why you're driving. But, this is a different country than America, and I know you're sober, but you're driving totally on the wrong side of the road, and we're getting ready to go around this corner." Come on, somebody. You know, I'm thinking I'm saving us. I'm thinking I'm protecting us. And then on that very trip, God began to reveal to him heaven and God, and through his mom going on to heaven, and through the prayers of his wife, and through my non-judgmental ways, Mike gave his life to Christ, had completely changed his life, and he's sitting on the front row today, right now, right here, listen to that story, one of my best friends. Come on, give it up for God and Sharon and Mike. I'm talking about, who's your John Ed? Who's your Mike? Well, I really don't care about them. I really kind of want to get my kids saved. I'm really interested in getting my husband saved because he so needs to get saved. And I tell him that every Sunday. You need to get saved. I go home and tell him, "You should have went to church. You're going to hell." Oh, that's a good way to win friends and influence people, Matilda. You need to go home and you need to look at him and say, "You know what? Church makes me want to kiss you. Come here, you hunk of a man. Church makes me want to make you some food. Sit down and let me rub your feet." In 3 weeks, I promise you, he's going to go, "Oh, I need Jesus. I want to go to church. I love church." It's common sense, y'all. Preach the good news glad, not mad, not sad, not judgmental, not arrogant. Not when you get it together. How shall they hear without a preacher? Hear the preacher. So this week, everywhere you go, you need to. And today, when we leave, we're going to start getting more aggressive about asking you to take these cards home. Just easy. My wife will tell you, everywhere I go, I take cards. And if I'm at the mall, I put them on every windshield. If I'm walking into the store, come here, Austin. Austin will tell you, I don't care where we go. And I've trained him that way. Not like I didn't ask him to do it, but I'll send him back to the car. The other day, I sent him back to the car. He took 20 minutes to get back. And I said, "Where have you been?" And he said, I looked out on the parking lot, and every car in the lot had a flyer on the inside of it. Come on, give it up for Austin. So everywhere I go, I'll put it up at Starbucks. I'm doing my part. I'm sowing my seed. Now, I know you want to get your husband saved, your wife saved, but oftentimes you won't be able to reach them. But you can reach people like I did today at McDonald's, that somebody is praying for them that they couldn't reach. They're going to make heaven their home. And subsequently, the people that I do love personally, they're going to receive Jesus, not by my preaching condemnation and you need to get it right, but the love of God draws people to repentance. So everywhere we go, everything you do, you need to be... I know you know this. You don't leave without your cell phone. How many of y'all do not leave the house without your cell phone? How many of y'all, like me, will admit that you have left the house without your cell phone, turned around, and went all the way back home to get it? You forgot your kid. You won't go back. But you got to take this. So everywhere you go, you say it, you spray it, you wheel it, you deal it, you make them feel it, and you invite. Because we're not talking about growing a big church. We already got a big church. We got it. We've had it. We're talking about lost people that think that, well, I've always been Catholic. That's okay. You can still be Catholic and come here. I've always been Baptist. I've always been, Pentecostal. It's okay. That's why we dropped the lights down so you can do whatever you want. Oh, Lord. You can do it all during that worship time. But whatever you do, make sure you're not one of these Christians who just sit back and say, I'm going to church. Bless me. Help me. Feed me. No. What are you going to do to get Mike saved, to get John Ed saved? Come here, Mike, one second. I just want you to pray with me over people that are lost in here. Years ago, when Mike got saved, probably over 6 years ago, when I started the other campus, he started helping save the church millions of dollars and helping me just as a friend. And I want you to know that I was proud of him then, and I'm just as proud of him now. And I'm telling you, this is one of tens of thousands of people's lives who have been changed. And I want you to experience that same life change. And I know that you know that there's thousands of pictures under this stage right here of people who don't know the Lord yet. When we put the concrete in here and we're getting ready to do it at Weldon Springs, we're going to make a special spot at that church, and we're going to bring all your loved ones' pictures, and we're going to plant it in that church so their life could forever be changed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God, me and Mike pray right now, Lord, for people that are lost, business people, people who love you already, but they're just bound, thinking that church is the answer, but they're bored with it and they don't want to go anymore. But God, I thank you that they won't have religion as their main motto anymore. They're going to have a relationship with Jesus as their main agenda. And God, lead us to people who are on the fast track to hell and other people who are just good people. They're living good lives, but we don't get to heaven because we're good. We get to heaven because you're good. And God, teach us more than ever that we need to go to church, that we need to bring our families to church, and we have to invite people to church. And God, this week as we go, we're going to go this week and we're going to pass out these cards and we're going to get evangelistic. We're going to give away DVDs. We're going to do everything within our power to help people who are far from Christ receive a loving Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on.